Thighs fell to me, the someone in question obviously being yours truly.
She gets anything she wants. Anything.
Eric glared at his brother. And the New York house is hers outright. Fuck, she can have this one too. And you will be the one to talk to her, not him. He pointed at Roman, the anger still apparent before he turned back to me.
You are not my lawyer. You are hers. You got it? This is not about protecting me.
I nodded, confident it was not going to be a problem. After all, I had no loyalties to either of them. Yes, I can do that.
I mean it, Lauren. Eric nailed me with a hard look. Whatever she wants written in that thing is hers. I am looking over it before you sign it.
Roman's shoulders squared out, his tension obvious. I'm still your fucking attorney. A silent dialogue passed between them, words I'm sure had already been said or would be later. And if Thor was about to rain down a shitstorm of pain and fury, Loki didn't look scared.
I'm not sure how friendly you and Roman are.
Eric gave up glaring at his brother to address me.
But in this, you are on opposite sides of the table. You have a problem with that?
Please, I scoffed, unable to stifle the chuckle. I don't even like your brother. Being friendly with him isn't in my repertoire.
She's right, Roman shrugged. She is more a pain in my ass than anything else.
I smiled sweetly at Roman. That would be because you're a dick.
Excellent. You're going to love Tia, Eric clapped. I'll be back in a minute.
Eric disappeared, leaving me alone with Roman. The urge to punch him right in the junk was strong, but so was the desire to kiss him. I couldn't decide which would give me greater satisfaction. Were you ever going to tell me? I stared at him, the accusation thick in the air. We've been working together for over a year, and I didn't even know your real last name.
Does it matter what my last name is? I'm still the same person.
He shrugged.
You know my reasons, and I stand behind them.
And, I'll remind you, that as Tia's attorney, you can't break privilege. That includes who I am to her. I laughed, shaking my head that he'd assume I'd use the information against him. I've never broken privilege, and I'm not about to start now, asshole. But get ready, Roman Larson. As you so helpfully pointed out, I am Tia's attorney. He moved closer, his eyes filled with heat. For some sick reason, fighting with each other was an aphrodisiac, and he was just as into it as I was.
Bring it, Harper.
We stared each other down, the air crackling between us. And had I not been in his brother's living room, minutes away from meeting a new client, I would have torn his clothes off and shown him exactly what I was bringing. After this was over, we were definitely going back to my apartment. Chapter 14. Tia was a firecracker. Slightly crazy, with moderate success in her own right as a columnist, she was very clear about what she wanted. So, you work with Roman? She asked, her eyes narrowed in suspicion. I had a hunch not a lot got past her. Yes, but don't hold that against me. I smiled as I continued to scribble on the notepad she'd provided. Now, let's get the terms straight so I can draw up a new agreement. We sat in a formal living area toward the front of the palatial home. Roman and Eric were at the other end of the house, hopefully putting on hold their Norse god war while I consulted with my new client. The original prenuptial agreement had been compiled by Roman, and while it had been sensible, giving Tia a generous settlement should the marriage be dissolved, it gave her zero property entitlements, and no claim to any of Eric's future earnings, regardless of how long they ended up being married. I could see why Eric had been infuriated. The deal was reasonable, but not necessarily fair. It was true that Tia was coming into the marriage with virtually no assets and little financial contributions, but she added value in other ways. She had taken over the running of the household, helped coordinate his schedule, and gave immeasurable moral and emotional support. All of those things meant she had less time to expand her own career and personal wealth development. And while she insisted that she was happy and that she had no aspirations to accept any of the book deals she'd been offered,
She could have parlayed her modest column into a multi-million dollar deal of her own. There had even been interest to turn her unconventional love story, the ordinary girl who met her famous number one crush and they fell madly in love, into a movie. Again, something she'd declined. Not to mention she'd given up her life in New York and followed Eric to Los Angeles. All those reasons combined deserved more than just money. So, under the new agreement, the house in Brooklyn is yours regardless of how long the marriage lasts. As I spoke, I made amendments to Roman's agreement, the new one to be drawn up later. And then there is a sliding scale on your settlement that increases the longer you are together and if any children are produced from the marriage. At a minimum, you will walk away with 10%, at most 25. It sounds so clinical, she shook her head. But I'm not entitled to the house. He bought it before we were even engaged. And 25% is not what I asked Roman for. We agreed that a lump sum would be fair, with alimony if we had kids. I get to keep any gifts, but I'm not doing this for money. Okay, I stopped writing, lowering my pen. Roman is Eric's attorney, which means his version of fair is incredibly slanted. And I know you aren't after his money. That's obvious considering you're the one asking for this. But legally, this is what you are entitled to. And more importantly, if you want Eric to agree, then we're going to have to go in with a decent offer. He was willing to give you everything. He's not going to sign something that doesn't even give you a place to live. He was so angry. She looked at the papers in front of us. I thought he was going to kill Roman. From what I could see of Roman's family, they were, well, normal for want of a better word. While he was a movie star, Eric didn't come with the air of superiority that usually accompanied high-end clients. His relationship with Roman seemed similar to the one I shared with Morgan. Affectionate, with a healthy dose of sibling mischief underneath. No doubt their teenage years had been fun. And Tia? 5 minutes alone with her and you could tell she'd never do a thing to hurt Eric. I knew Roman would have seen that too. Loyalty and trust were things he valued more than anything, considering I had only just had a glimpse into his world, now after knowing him for over a year. Roman evokes that reaction in a lot of people, feelings of wanting to murder him, I mean. I laughed, my own earlier thoughts of strangling him not far from my mind. So don't be too hard on your man, he's just thinking like the rest of us. It's good to see fame or family doesn't make you immune. I chuckled, wondering if we should start a support group and chant kumbaya or some shit until murder impulses subsided. So, what happens now? Tia folded her hands in her lap. We've been arguing about this for 3 days straight, but I meant what I said about not getting married until this is signed. It had been the first thing she had told me when we sat down, that despite her looming wedding date, she wouldn't say I do until he'd signed on the dotted line. I could usually sniff out a bluff, and this wasn't one. Ordinarily, I'd go higher than what we agreed, let opposing counsel argue, and then settle on what we've laid out. But since your wedding is so soon, I'm going to give Roman our final offer and get it filed as soon as possible. I pushed the papers aside, the impersonality of it all so startling. And while I saw the necessity of it, it didn't mean I didn't have a heart. I know this seems really hardcore. The best-case scenario, the day you both sign is the last time either of you will see it again. But Roman and I are currently dealing with a high-profile divorce as we speak, and it can get ugly. It's insurance, just like any other kind. You don't drive a car intending to crash, but you still have a policy, right? She laughed, her lips spreading into a genuine smile. Yeah, I can see that. She nodded, tucking a lock of hair behind her ear. Hey, I know this is a weird request, but can you include in the alimony a clause where he has to supply me with one lipstick a month? When we first met, I bought some insane amount of red lipstick, and it became an inside joke. Hopefully he'll see the funny side of it and maybe it will make him laugh. I picked up my pen, announcing it out loud as I added, one lipstick a month. I paused, thinking on what was best for my client. We should probably add in a color preference, too, because men are hideously bad at a color wheel. It would suck if you ended up with something like coral. It just wouldn't work with your skin tone. More laughing, this time from both of us as I made the final amendment. There was a knock at the door, Eric and Roman entering after Tia had called out they could come in. It seemed, in the Great Battle of Asgard, both had survived.
You guys done?
Eric was the first to speak, the tension on his face still visible. We sure are. I rose from the couch and gathered my papers. I'll finalize it and then give it to Roman for you to sign. I should have it back to you by tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you.
Eric held out his hand.
And sorry you had to get dragged into this.
Hey, don't thank me. I returned his handshake, giving him a playful grin. You haven't seen it yet. There's a lipstick clause, and it isn't favorable for you. He laughed, his smile almost identical to his brother's, dropping his hand as he sidled up to Tia.
Sounds like interesting reading. Now, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to put this behind us and concentrate on making up with my fiancé.
We're leaving.
Roman placed his hand on my lower back. We'll be sending our respective bills in the morning. After a quick goodbye, Tia and Eric walked us back out to Roman's car. It was startling how much had changed since we first arrived. I bit my lip, sliding into the passenger seat as he joined me in the car. I understand why you didn't tell me about your family. It can't have been easy living in Eric's shadow, especially considering how good-looking he is. I fanned myself. Are your other brothers hot as well? His lips fought the grin, spearing me with a look as he started the ignition.
Wow, that's original.
You can tell me how much better looking my brother is after I take you home and fuck you. Who says that's what we're going to do? I pretended to look horrified. Besides, I'm starving. Some loser took me out to dinner and then didn't let me eat it.
I didn't hear you complaining when I was eating you.
He laughed, giving me a wicked grin. Just shut up. I pushed playfully against his arm. And we're going to need to hit drive-through on the way back. He did as instructed for a change, passing a drive-through on the way back to my apartment. I was so hungry I ate in the car. He did the same, balancing his burger on his lap as he drove. There was unspoken agreement when he'd parked the car. I hadn't invited him to come up with me, but I hadn't asked him to leave, either. And even though there was a part of me that simmered uncomfortably, wishing I knew more about him, it wasn't that part that was currently in control. It didn't seem important, at least not for right now. Funnily enough, it didn't get any more important as the night wore on, either. Any further talk about him and his family disregarded in favor of other things. He was really good at other things. Really, really good.
It's morning.
He kissed my lips, his hand sliding down my hip.
I should go home.
Yeah, you should. I yawned, my body as well as my mind feeling exhausted. Or not. I really don't care either way. He laughed, his mouth pressed against my shoulder.
Your indifference is sexy as hell. But I've got a family breakfast with my mother later this morning. Something about her eldest son getting married has made her sentimental, and my presence is required.
Yeah, I can understand how that would be a foreign concept for you, being around people who are kind and love you. I rolled over to face him. Don't let it go to your head. They probably tolerate you at best. He shook his head, biting back the grin.
Thanks for keeping my ego in check. I'll be sure to call you if at any time I start feeling too good about myself.
My arms wrapped around his neck and I kissed him again. He didn't flinch, kissing me back like it was the most normal thing in the world. And even though I didn't want to admit it, him spending the night hadn't been terrible. I wondered if he felt the same, and if that had been the reason he'd stayed. I watched as he moved off the bed and grabbed his clothes, redressing for the second time in my room. Only this time he would be leaving, and I might not get to see him until Monday. I'll email you the revised prenup in a few hours, give you a chance to go over it.
My eyes stayed on him while he pulled on his pants.
It's Saturday morning. Why don't you go back to sleep and then get it to me later this afternoon?
He finished buttoning his shirt.
I'll email you if there are any problems.
Ordinarily, I wasn't a huge fan of sleeping in, but as I stretched out in my bed, the side he'd just left still warm, it sounded like a fantastic idea. I pulled up the covers and sighed. Okay.
No argument?
His eyebrow rose, looking genuinely surprised.
Just leave already,
I groaned, tossing a pillow at him. I was in a good mood. Why do you have to ruin everything? He caught the pillow, tossing it back so that it landed on the bed.
I'm not used to you being agreeable. I'm not sure I like it.
Momentary lapse in judgment, I rolled my eyes. Rest assured, it won't happen again. He laughed, strolling over to my side of the bed and kissed me one last time.
Enjoy your weekend. Stay out of trouble.
Back at you. I finger-waved before turning on my side, listening as he showed himself out and pulled the door closed behind him. The room felt larger without him in it, the air noticeably cooler. I chalked it up to fatigue, or insanity, because no man could influence space and temperature with his sheer presence. Ugh, I needed to go back to sleep. As my eyes closed, I heard the creak of the front door open. Obviously, the lock hadn't engaged properly on his way out. Convenient, and not unlike him. It made me grin like an idiot, my heartbeat increasing just at the thought that he was coming back. He hadn't been able to leave after all.
Jerk.
Couldn't help yourself, huh? I called out, my smile pressed against the pillow. I knew you'd end up crawling back.
Are you talking to me?
My sister appeared in my doorway. She was still in her scrubs, her keys dangling from her fingers. I sat up, grabbing the sheet to cover myself, trying to look casual. I thought you were someone else.
Oh, really? Someone else has keys to our apartment?
Her hip leaned against the doorjamb, her amused smile telling me she hadn't been fooled. There was no point trying to hide it. She was probably going to find out later anyway. Besides, it's not like I hadn't had men stay over before. Roman just left, I said, trying not to sound as pleased as I did. Her grin stayed in place as she swung the keys around her finger.
I know. I saw him.
You just couldn't tell me, huh? I shook my head, my nakedness meaning I couldn't get out of bed and kick her ass. You had to make me say it? She laughed, enjoying making me squirm.
It's so much more fun to watch you admit you were wrong. Must have been one hell of a dinner and talk.
Her finger pointed accusingly at the condom wrapper on the floor.
Last time I checked, a chat didn't require protection.
You can never be too careful these days. I shrugged, my innocence oozing from every pore as I batted my lashes. It was a serious conversation. Morgan laughed, not buying my declarations of purity for a second.
Ones that involve penises generally are. You want to talk about it, or can I go fall into a heap and sleep a few hours?
Go sleep. I waved her off, intending to do some of that myself. It can wait a few hours.
Awesome. I'm going to crash.
She yawned, the weariness of her shift catching up with her.
Don't wake me unless the apartment's on fire. I have night shift again.
She punctuated her parting instructions with another yawn as she turned and walked out of my room. And once again, I was alone, with a stupid grin on my face. Sleep wasn't going to be as easy to come by as I first thought. I had given Morgan a basic rundown of the previous night's events. It had been heavily edited, names and places redacted so I didn't violate anything, which meant that she was unaware of the Larson-Pierce connection. And for now, that information was staying locked down, even if she was my sister.
How's the firm feel about two of its associates dating? She asked over a bowl of Cap'n Crunch.
It was closer to lunch than breakfast, but neither of us was in the mood to cook. So instead, we sat around our kitchen table eating cereal and talking about my love life.
It had been more fun when she had been the subject of the interrogation. I was positive this was payback for the shit I gave her when she was dating the paramedic. Well, I pushed the spoon around in my bowl. We're not exactly dating. Neither of us have time for a relationship. So we're just kind of doing this. It was delusional to assume I was suddenly going to stop having sex with Roman. Are you kidding? And toss away the best orgasms ever given to me by a man or myself? Yeah, I wasn't stupid, and if he wanted to continue to be my life-size sex toy, I would happily be his.
You mean, where you go out for dinner and sleep with each other? The thing that sounds exactly like dating?
The sarcasm dripped from her still smirking lips. Whatever, I laughed. Enough coffee hadn't been consumed in order to explain all the reasons why regular dating wouldn't work with us. And I was more than happy with the way things were, even if Morgan wanted to read more into it. After breakfast and a shower, I sat down and went through my notes from my meeting with Tia. Even though Roman wasn't expecting the paperwork until the afternoon, it was a good way to occupy my mind, other than wondering whether or not I was going to see him again over the weekend. I didn't. See him again, that is. We spoke briefly on the phone Saturday night after he'd checked his email and told me that Eric was signing the papers. It sounded like he was at a bar or out somewhere for dinner, the background noise making it obvious he wasn't sitting home alone like I was. I didn't ask him where he was or if he was with someone, and he didn't offer to tell me. Instead, the conversation was kept on point so that after I hung up, I could obsess about it for the rest of the night like a moron. Not that I expected him to... Well, I wasn't sure what I was expecting him to do. Hell, I didn't even know what I was expecting of myself. It was clear no boundaries had been set, and I wasn't sure if I'd just been worked into the rotation like Carla, an extra player added to his growing board of chess pieces. I wasn't even sure I was mad, the lack of definition partially my fault. No one forced me to sleep with him, and I hadn't offered him exclusivity either. I hated that even though I didn't really have a right to, the thought of him with someone else made me jealous, uncomfortable in the reality that he'd not felt the same way about me. One thing was for sure, I was almost positive none of the previous women who'd shared his bed knew about Eric. I held tight that he'd trusted me enough to let me in, even if it was just a little. Surely that meant I was more than just a piece of ass. It was definitely too confusing to think about. So I took the weekend to forget about work, Roman, and everything else, and just be a little self-indulgent for a while. With Morgan working all weekend, I went and booked myself into a spa, the previously unexplored secret society of fluffy white bathrobes and mysterious skin practices hadn't been something I'd ever been interested in. Because paying a woman in a fake doctor's coat to touch me seemed stupid. But boy, had I been wrong. My face, body, and hair were treated to such pampering it almost felt illicit, leaving every part of me feeling like $1 million. I didn't even care that I had handed over more cash than I did for my first car. The full package they'd talked me into was worth every cent. I suspected that those aromatherapy diffusers pumped out more than just essential oils, and by the time I was done, I was too blissed out to care. And as Saturday slipped into Sunday, I hardly thought about Roman at all. Images of his perfect body and beautiful face were completely banished from my mind. Mostly. Maybe I thought about him a little. Chapter 15.
Running late, Harper?
Roman was sitting behind my desk in my chair when I walked in. He looked amazing, as usual, his shirt perfectly pressed underneath his perfectly tailored suit. I wondered what time he got up in the morning in order to look that good, and if he had an army of sweatshop tailors held hostage in his closet so he could satisfy his fetish for expensive designer threads. My smile was automatic, spreading across my lips as I walked over to my desk and dumped my handbag. His eyes flared as they moved up my bare legs. My figure-hugging dress was shorter than I usually wore to work, but I was inspired after my time at the spa, my skin so silky soft. Actually, I've been working for hours already. I had a morning meeting.
My finger pointed from him to the ceiling, a subtle hint he needed to get up. He stood slowly, his eyes moving up and down my body.
What meeting?
He reached out, his fingers curling around my hair.
This is different, too.
Thank you for noticing. I flicked my hair back over my shoulder, secretly thrilled he'd noticed. I'd had it trimmed and styled while at the spa, and loved how it now framed my face. And my meeting was with ITP. They had business in L.A., so I met them at the Beverly Wilshire for breakfast. I lowered myself into my vacated seat, taking care to cross my legs for maximum impact. It was childish and probably a little ridiculous, but I liked watching him squirm, and I felt somewhat justified. He'd taken up space in my head during the weekend, so I was going to commandeer a little of his now.
You went to see Chase Anderson looking like that?
His hand waved in my direction, and I assumed it was my dress that concerned him, unless he was talking about my new hair. The stylist had said I was going to stop traffic. I stared down at my outfit with an adequate amount of fake shock. What's wrong with the way I look? What he didn't know was that I hadn't met with Chase Anderson. Chase rarely got out of bed before 10 a.m., so I instead had my initial meeting with his COO, Anita Anderson, who was also his sister. And unsurprisingly enough, Anita hadn't cared about my hair or my outfit. She was more concerned with the results of my vetting, so when her brother did wander in sometime mid-morning, she could give him the short list. I probably could have mentioned that, but I didn't.
Are you trying to be cute?
His hand moved to my knee, his fingers gripping my leg tightly.
Cute?
I shoved his hand aside. No, I wasn't trying to be cute. So if all you came in here for was to critique my wardrobe choices, you should probably go. I have work to do. The muscles in his jaw tensed as he lowered himself down, his butt resting on the edge of the desk in front of me.
And what if I'm not done here?
A finger trailed up my leg.
Actually, I'm fairly sure I'm not done.
I leaned forward, bringing my mouth closer. And what do you suggest, Roman? You want to pull up my dress and have a quickie in my office? I was only half joking, with no intention of turning him down if he did exactly that. His eyes darkened as he focused on my shiny red lips.
Daniel is expecting us in his office.
My fingers tiptoed up his leg, moving to the front of his pants where I found him hard. He didn't stop me, watching as my palm flattened against the fly and rubbed against it. Too bad. I peered at him under my thick, dark lashes. I took what you said about not being interested in lingerie to heart, so I'm not wearing any. His length thickened under my hand as I held it still. You should probably do something about this, though. I'm not sure walking around with a hard-on is very professional. I grabbed him hard, a hiss passing through his lips as I stood, keeping my grip around him. And if you ever call me cute again, it won't be your cock I grab, it will be your balls. I promise that won't be as much fun. His fingers wrapped around my wrist, holding my hand hostage.
I'll take my chances.
He used my hold to continue to stroke him.
We'll talk about you, this dress, your lack of underwear, and Chase Anderson after I fuck you. You should message Daniel and let him know we're both going to be late.
It gave me a sick thrill to make him crazy, to watch a man who notoriously had it all together crack a little at the edges just like the rest of us. I wondered if there had been signs of it earlier and I hadn't noticed, or if this was brand new. He planted his hands on my hips, opening his legs and pulling me into the gap in between. His mouth was on mine, swallowing my gasp as he pulled up the hem of my dress. I was conscious the door wasn't locked, that at any time someone could walk in and see what we were doing. The thought we might get caught just made it hotter as my hands gripped his shirt. Our mouths tangled, hot breaths exchanged as his hand landed on my ass.
Jesus.
He grabbed my bare skin, squeezing it.
Send the goddamn message we're going to be late and get up on the desk.
I didn't argue, grabbing my phone from my bag as he lifted me onto the desk, his hand bunching up my dress as I fumbled with the letters. It was crazy, my eyes moving from my cell screen and then looking over my shoulder to the door as I heard the sound of his zipper.
Never thought I'd need to carry condoms at work.
He pulled one out of his back pocket and tore it open.
But I'm glad I am.
He pushed down his pants and boxer briefs so they hung on his hips, giving himself a firm couple of pumps as he rolled on the condom before his attention turned to me.
You send the message?
He kissed me before I had a chance to answer, one of his fingers plunging into me. Yes, I moaned, arching into him as my body heated under his touch. He added another finger, pressing his mouth against my lips.
Shh.
It was hard to stay quiet as his eyes locked onto mine, feeling his hand pump into me.
Do it.
I gripped his shoulders, my pretty painted fingernails digging into his precious expensive suit. He pulled out his fingers and filled me with his cock in a hard, fast thrust. The slight sting making my eyes water from my body not being fully ready.
You okay?
He asked, holding himself still as I adjusted to him. The sweet ache throbbed between my legs as I nodded, tilting my hips so he could get deeper.
Don't stop.
We moved in a frenzy, our bodies crashing against each other as office supplies tumbled off my desk. It had never been like this. Excitement peaked inside of me so fast that I came in a rush, a scream escaping my mouth as he clamped a hand around it.
Not so loud.
He breathed at my neck as he rocked against me.
Lauren.
He moaned my name as his powerful body came undone. He pressed his forehead to mine as we sucked in matching ragged breaths.
I'm still not done,
he whispered as he kissed my lips.
We'll pick this up a little later when I have more time. You go first, and I'll meet you in Daniel's office in a few minutes.
My arms and legs felt like jelly as I nodded, grabbing a couple of tissues from the box that had been tossed on the floor, and cleaned myself up as quickly as I could. Maybe jealousy ran on both sides? The idea that perhaps he felt the way I had been feeling over the weekend gave me a secret thrill. Even if I wasn't entirely correct, there was an underlying lack of control that we both seemed to share. He wasn't made of stone like I'd first thought, and I very much liked the glimpse of chaos that poked through underneath. Sitting through the meeting with our boss was going to be a challenge, even more so since I wasn't wearing underwear. I left Roman in my office after a quick look in my compact mirror confirmed I didn't look like I'd just screwed a man on my desk. That was the one benefit of it being fast. The potential havoc on my hair and makeup had been greatly reduced. Not that I complained, the smile fixed on my face as I adjusted my dress and strolled out.
I don't like waiting, Lauren.
Daniel was on his laptop when I walked in, his fingers continuing to type as I took a seat.
Where the hell is Roman?
Performing a human sacrifice. I smiled as my knees pressed together, making sure I didn't inadvertently flash my boss. It's the only way to stop from changing into his true reptilian form. The edges of Daniel's mouth twitched, shaking his head but not looking up.
You know, if you both weren't so goddamn good at your jobs, I'd have fired one of you. Less aggravation that way.
He was lying through his teeth, and he knew it. The reason he'd hired us in the first place was because we were so good together. It would be Roman, right? I laughed, knowing we were both safe.
What would be Roman?
Speak of the devil, the man himself strode in, not even a hair out of place.
I was just telling Lauren how there are days I want to fire you both.
Daniel gave up on his computer, watching as the man I'd been having sex with moments ago took a seat beside me like nothing had happened. Roman straightened his tie, flashing Daniel his trademark cocky grin.
Don't be ridiculous. Who would take our place?
He screwed his face up in disgust.
Lewis? Preston? They're so far up Carter's ass he opens his mouth and they gargle for him. And pretty sure neither of them can spell conviction, let alone get one. You done?
Daniel folded his arms, looking amused.
Believe it or not, there was a reason I called you in here. You want to parade us through the office like conquering generals?
He winked before tipping his head to me.
Don't worry, Harper. I'll share the adulation with you this one time.
Do you have any humility? I shook my head, trying to not look amused. In truth, his egomaniac routine was kind of hot.
Like, any at all?
Nope. You know, Daniel leaned back in his chair, studying us both, at some point I'd like you to at least pretend you've seen my name as one of the ones out there on the wall. Give me the illusion that you listen to me.
He held his hand up, stopping whatever comeback Roman had brewing.
It was good work on the Kane divorce. I know it's not finalized just yet, but I was glad you were able to put your differences aside to get the job done. We're signing Jana as a major client, and part of that is a restructure of her company. I want to make sure she isn't susceptible to sharks, either in husband form or otherwise, moving forward.
Roman's brow furrowed as he shifted forward in his chair.
So you want us to go through and make sure there's no leaks in the boat?
No, I kept my eyes locked on Daniel, this time knowing exactly what he meant. He wants us to take her out of the boat entirely.
I always knew you were the smarter one.
Daniel gave me an appreciative grin.
I want her business rock solid, and if her innovations stay on target, she could well be our biggest client. I'll tie up the divorce, and after Harper dumps the ITP acquisition, we can get started.
Roman stood, wrongly assuming the meeting had finished and everything had been decided. I'm not dumping anything. I joined him on my feet, tipping my chin to look him in the eyes. I've vetted all the companies. When Chase Anderson makes his decision, I will be the one who finishes that deal. Anger spiked inside of me.
Let someone else handle it.
He dismissed me with a casual wave of his hand.
Anything else?
He turned to Daniel, ignoring me.
Not from me, but I'm sure Lauren might have a few words for you.
He grinned, pointing to the door.
Why don't you head out of my office and let her yell at you in private?
Thank you. I gave Daniel a quick nod before turning to Roman. Let's go. I didn't wait for him to agree, heading to the door and walking out. Roman was only a couple of steps behind me when he grabbed my arm.
Your office or mine?
Yours. I shook off his arm, wanting the opportunity to storm off. It wasn't easy, his longer legs keeping up easily with me as the eyes of our colleagues followed us down the hall. They were well-versed in our process, the one that usually involved heated discussion behind closed doors. I guess they assumed everyone else was safe as long as we were yelling at each other. Roman got to his office first, overtaking me and flinging open the door. I stepped in, helping him out by slamming it behind us. What makes you think you can tell me which cases I need to drop? I glared at him, my skin prickling with annoyance.
You didn't even want the case.
He glared back, seeming confused about why I was upset.
You had to take it because you lost the bet. You should be thanking me for getting you off the hook.
Thanking you? I wasn't sure whether I wanted to laugh or choke him. Yes, I didn't want it. But I have it now, and I don't just dump clients halfway through a deal. What kind of message does that send? Going through the ITP paperwork and their fiber optics acquisition was like reading the yellow pages. Long, boring, and time-consuming that yielded limited reward and even less thanks. Chase Anderson might be happy to have an associate vet for him, but when it came time to sign, he'd want a partner. For no other reason than men like him and their egos wanted to feel important. But while I suffered through the brain-numbing hoop-jumping, I also wasn't in the habit of leaving a job unfinished, especially not when I'd already put in so much work.
He will be dealt with by someone else.
He moved forward, forcing me to stand my ground.
Besides, he's been dragging his feet for months. He's not even close to making a decision.
Well, he sounded pretty close to it when I spoke to him. I sneered back, the lie passing easily through my lips. We'd barely spoken, and he hadn't been close to deciding shit, but I wasn't going to admit it. Roman's jaw tightened, his eyes dipping down to my body.
And did he tell you that while he was staring at your tits or your ass?
My hand lifted without thinking, ready to slap him, when he caught it. I was so angry I didn't even care that I'd gone from thinking about hitting him to actually following through. You asshole! I tried to rip my hand from his grip to no avail. I have never used my body to work a client, and it's offensive that you'd even think that.
I know that.
He didn't let go, his fingers staying locked around my wrist.
But Chase Anderson is a prick, and him seeing you in this dress is making me fucking crazy.
I stopped struggling, burning hot and cold by his admission. I still wasn't sure how I felt about it, both thrilled and appalled that anything involving me made him crazy.
Then why did you give me the freaking case in the first place?
It was his doing I was even dealing with Chase.
Because he usually only deals with partners?
His eyes heated as he captured my chin with his hand.
He's never met with an associate before, and I had no idea he'd meet with you.
I should have put him out of his misery and told him that my meeting hadn't been with Chase, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if it was jealousy or he just didn't like someone else playing with his toys, but I liked it, maybe more than I should.
I'm not dropping the case, I said, the defiance in my voice making his pupils dilate. His mouth lowered, brushing against my lips.
Because you want to piss me off? Or for another reason?
My chin tilted higher, closing what little distance there was between us, and I kissed him. Full, deep on the mouth, as my fingers threaded in his hair.
Because no one tells me what to do, I moaned between kisses. That it pisses you off is just a bonus.
His hands moved down my body, kissing down my neck.
Fine. We'll discuss it later.
Or we won't. I laughed, not willing to concede anything despite the very compelling argument his body was making.
I have to say, I like our new way of settling arguments.
He squeezed my ass, nibbling at my collarbone. I laughed, anger taking a back seat to other emotions.
Nothing was settled, Roman. You're just thinking with your penis, so you're no longer worried about what is going through your mind.
Harper,
he stopped kissing me, a smirk spreading across his lips.
If you think I wasn't thinking with my penis every single time we argued, then you are delusional.
You're a sick man, Roman Pierce. I half-heartedly pushed him away.
Yeah, but you're sleeping with me.
He kept his arms locked around me, my poor attempt of a shove doing nothing to move him.
So, what's that say about you? You want to throw more stones at the glass house? Go right ahead.
Maybe I've decided to stop all that nonsense.
Not likely, considering what we had done on my desk this morning and would probably happen on his desk if I didn't put a stop to it. Your sister home tonight?
He ignored my last statement, and either he didn't believe me, or, like always when he didn't like the topic of conversation, he pretended he didn't hear it.
Yes, she just came off 3 nights in a row. We'd had the changing of the guard at the front door when I left, and she'd just gotten home. She has the next 2 days off.
You want to have dinner with her before you come back to my place?
It never ceased to amaze me just how cocky he was, that he had zero fear of rejection. It was like he was made of bulletproof body armor. It went beyond confidence and into a whole other realm.
You know, Roman, you should probably ask me first before you just assume.
I'm not sure why I bothered. There wasn't a chance I was spending my night alone.
Really? You aren't going to come to my place so I can fuck you properly?
He laughed, an amused look on his face.
We can go back to yours if you want, but we both know you struggle to be quiet, and you just said your sister is going to be home.
I pushed against his chest, this time a little more forcefully. I'm leaving, you jerk. But yes, fine, whatever, we'll go to your place.
Glad you saw it my way.
He slowly eased his hold, enabling me to untangle myself from his body.
Let me know if you have a preference for dinner. I'll make a reservation.
His invitation made me stop, my feet no longer interested in walking out the door.
You want to have dinner with me?
Didn't we already establish that?
He raised an eyebrow.
I know I just didn't have a conversation with myself.
I knew dinner had been mentioned, but I assumed I'd just go see him later. For sex, which was what I assumed we were doing. Dinner felt like it might be more, and something I wasn't expecting.
Why? I heard myself ask, wondering why he'd do that when I had already agreed to sleep with him.
Have dinner with you?
He cocked his head to the side like it was me who was the puzzle.
Because I want to and I like it?
I enjoy our dinner conversations. It's...
He searched for the word.
I just like it.
He shook his head, giving no further explanation, and I was almost positive he knew what he'd wanted to say but didn't.
So, while I'm sure you'd probably prefer the company of your sister, I'd rather you eat with me. I'll let you choose where and what time, of course, as long as it's not Nico's.
The edges of his lips curled into a grin.
Wow. I didn't bother trying to hide my surprise, both at his honesty and that he wanted to spend time with me outside the bedroom. I wasn't sure I was expecting either.
This is my version of a compromise.
He shot me a wink, seeming to be proud of himself.
You should try it by dropping Anderson as a client.
That wouldn't be a compromise, I pointed out. That is getting your way.
A wicked grin spread across his lips.
I see no problem with that. I like getting my way.
He was a menace, and if I didn't leave soon, it would dissolve into trouble for sure. We'd already tempted fate once this morning, having sex in my office with an unlocked door. I wasn't confident we'd be as lucky the second time around. Not to say I wasn't tempted. We could lock the door this time around.
No, I should go.
See you later, Roman. I turned, giving him a finger wave as I made my way to the door. I'm going to have dinner with my sister tonight, and then I'll come see you after.
His eyes darkened as he watched my hand open the door.
I thought we agreed you were having dinner with me.
I tossed over my shoulder as I walked out.
We agreed nothing.
Chapter 16.
Morgan made chicken pot pie. It was flaky and delicious, and I savored every mouthful.
You are never allowed to get married. I took another forkful, loading it with culinary goodness. Or, if you do, you aren't allowed to move out. I will die if I have to fend for myself.
Morgan laughed, finishing off the rest of her dinner.
The drama. You could learn, you know. If you can read, you can cook. You just need to follow the recipe.
And deprive you of this? I waved my fork at what was left of the pie.
No, I wouldn't be so cruel.
She grabbed her plate, rinsing it off before loading it into the dishwasher.
So? She paused, raising an eyebrow. Are we going to talk about the elephant in the room?
If this is your way of telling me I'm putting on weight, you can save it. I spoke around the last forkful.
I don't care. Your cooking is worth it.
You aren't putting on weight.
She leaned her hip against the kitchen counter as she gave me a pointed look.
Roman, you sleeping together?
Morgan had worked nights all weekend, which meant she had slept during the day. It was the excuse I gave her for my spa time, not wanting to wake her by being noisy in the apartment. Of course, she saw right through my transparent and lame attempt to forget about Roman, but was kind enough not to push. But now, all bets were off with the news that after dinner I was going to spend the night at his apartment.
It's no big deal.
I joined her by the sink, shrugging as I rinsed off my dinner plate to illustrate that it was, indeed, no big deal.
I don't know if it's going to be a nightly thing. We're just keeping it casual for right now.
Lo, you work together. Her hand reached across and clasped mine. Please promise me you are going to be really careful. You love your job. I don't want that to change if things go south with Roman.
It won't, I promised. My fingers squeezed hers back.
It's just fun for now. And when it stops being fun, we'll go back to not sleeping with each other. We're going to argue regardless, so that part won't be different.
She sighed, seeming to be unconvinced.
Okay. Well, you know what you're doing.
I didn't think she was confident that I did know, but at least she was being supportive.
He invited me to dinner, I admitted, Roman's offer to have dinner unmentioned when I came home.
Morgan looked surprised, the shift in the conversation hopefully taking away some of her concern.
And?
And it was sort of weird. Like he was going to say something and then he didn't, I paraphrased, trying to remember exactly what he'd said. By his own admission, he doesn't date a lot, and his only reasoning was that he liked it.
liked dinner?
Morgan screwed up her face in confusion.
Dinner with me, wise ass.
I rolled my eyes.
Maybe I should send you instead so you can try and work him out. I can't say that part of me isn't curious and slightly confused.
I was only half joking, tempted to find a way to send my sister in my place or have her observe us, purely for experimental purposes. To sit in as an independent observer and dissect his behavior and throw some light on his possible motives. Her training as a nurse made her brilliant at gauging people, and working in the ER made her excellent at problem-solving, even if the situation was unpredictable. She was a double threat, and I respected and valued her opinion.
So, why did you say no? She asked the same question I had asked myself. And that was when I lied through my teeth.
Because I wanted to see you. I mean, he isn't my whole life or anything, I clarified, realizing how ridiculous it sounded that I'd rather spend a night eating pie with my sister rather than the hot man I was sleeping with.
Maybe I just want to keep him guessing.
Only thing was, it was me who was guessing, and I wasn't sure what the hell I was doing.
But I'm going to see him tonight.
She nodded, not suspecting my reason was bogus, because for the most part it sounded convincing. It was rational and even normal to not rush into a... what exactly were we doing? Relationship? And sure, that was partly true. But the real reason why I had said no to dinner was because I was worried about his reasons, which, as far as I was concerned, were unclear. He liked it. Did he mean he liked me, or that he wasn't eating alone? Was I good company, or did he like me in particular? I hated how even the questions in my own head made me feel vulnerable, and how much I wanted it to be personal. That he wanted me across that table, and no one else. Because suddenly I was needy and would rather live in ignorance than the truth where I was replaceable. He'd respected me before. We'd had our differences, sure, but he'd never treated me like I was less because I was a woman. I didn't want things to change, and I didn't want to stop sleeping with him either. So instead, I buried my head in the sand, claiming ignorance for a little while longer, because what I didn't know couldn't hurt me. I wasn't sure when exactly I'd turned idiot, but my transition seemed to be complete, and it was a downward spiral I didn't care to stop. The minute I'd walked through the door of Roman's apartment, he had his hands on me. Then his mouth. Then everything else. He blanketed me, consumed me, drank me in whole, as we forgot about the argument at work, my refusal to have dinner with him, and everything else that didn't involve the present moment. I was in his bedroom before I'd gotten a chance to check out his decor, naked before I'd said hello, and had him inside of me before my back hit the mattress. It was fast and hard, which was exactly how I wanted it, and how I'd wanted him. The second time was slower, but no less intense, and by the third, my mind had become a wasteland, complete dominion given to my body as he worshipped me, and I never wanted it to stop. You staying or going?
His lips kissed my shoulder while his arms held me captive. I liked the way it felt, and how I felt inside of them.
Going. He kissed me again.
Staying.
I'd changed my mind.
He smiled against my skin, and I assumed this was once again his version of a compromise, aka him getting his way.
Good. I'll think of a creative way to wake you in the morning.
I didn't want to fight him, loving the idea of staying curled up beside him, and even more excited that he liked that too. Maybe he did like me, as in me personally, to be around. The idea that he wanted me to stay with him delighted me more than just spending the night. I snuggled in closer, feeling his arms around me.
What if I decide to wake you? I grinned in the darkness.
He chuckled, his hand moving to my breast.
Blowjob.
I sighed, pretending that was not exactly what I had been thinking.
So predictable and in no way creative.
Fine. Hand job followed by a blowjob.
He pulled me in tighter.
Extra points for creativity if you can perform both while sliding my cock between these beautiful tits.
his hands closed around the tits of which he spoke. Or me, my mouth, hands, and tits can stay asleep and see what you come up with. I didn't turn around, but I knew he was grinning.
Yeah, that sounds like a better plan.
I snuggled up close, pretending to go to sleep. It didn't take long, and I was no longer pretending, my eyes staying shut as my breathing evened out. My body and mind drifted into complete darkness as I fell asleep in his arms. Morning had indeed been creative, opening my eyes to my naked body covered in pancakes. The flat, fluffy discs had been strategically placed on my breasts as I woke to warm syrup being poured over me.
What the hell are you doing?
I tried to sit up as syrup leaked onto the sheets. It was a gooey mess that was going to ruin his bed linen, but he didn't seem to care, pushing me back down as his finger trailed up my ribs.
I made myself breakfast.
He lowered his mouth to the pancake that had slipped from my breast and took a nibble, his tongue gathering syrup until it reached my firm peak. I moaned as he closed his mouth, sucking me hard as I laid back down.
No breakfast for me?
I asked as he feasted on my body, occasionally taking a bite from a pancake as well. He flattened his tongue against my belly, running it down to the top of my pussy and stopped.
What do you want, Lauren?
It was like he rationed out saying my name, saving it for those times when it would have maximum impact. Every single time I was surprised when he didn't call me Harper, making my skin tingle, as a word I had heard a million times before sounded different, coming from his mouth. I craved it, like a drug.
Kiss me, Roman.
And in a hot, sticky mess of pancakes and syrup, he did just that, lifting me off the bed and carrying me to the shower where we had sex. We never did get to finish breakfast. I left him with his ruined sheets and went back to my apartment. There, I showered again, changed, getting a knowing look from my sister before I went to work. He was already in his office when I arrived, wearing his fancy suit and sipping on coffee as he went through files on his desk. No coffee for me? I stood in his open doorway, my hip leaning against the jamb.
I tried to give you breakfast in bed, but you didn't seem interested in it.
He hid his smile behind the paper cup.
So, now you'll have to get your own coffee.
I'd like to take that coffee and pour it in your lap.
I rolled my eyes, making sure I kept my voice low so no one else could hear. It was risky. While we weren't doing anything other than talking, it wasn't exactly office-appropriate conversation. His door was open, and I hadn't even stepped inside. The idea we were rolling the dice made it just that little bit more exciting. He took another sip, licking the remnants of coffee from his lips.
If you want to give me a blowjob, Harper, you just need to ask. No need to ruin a perfectly good suit.
You're pretty obsessed with yourself, you know that? I yawned, pretending to look bored. Does narcissism come naturally, or is it a concentrated effort?
Hey, is it safe to come in?
Stephanie smiled at us both, strolling past me to Roman's desk, hoping there's a ceasefire long enough so I can go through these reports with Roman. We hadn't even noticed the arrival of Daniel's secretary, completely oblivious as to what was going on around us. God knows how long she'd been standing there and what she'd heard.
Yeah, I was just leaving.
My words came out slightly fumbled and not at all smooth. We'd been stupid, and that had been too close.
I'll talk to you later, Pierce.
I'd say it was my pleasure, Harper. He gave me a cocky grin. But we both know it was all yours.
It was lucky that Stephanie was busy getting herself seated, so she completely missed my eyes bulging and my mouth dropping open. He couldn't help himself, pushing the envelope a little more because he could. I flipped him off discreetly, not waiting for a response as I closed the door and went into the next office. Mine, the shared wall separating us yet again. It was both new and weird as I sat down at my desk, wondering how the dynamic was going to work. But it did. During business hours, it was exactly that. Business. Roman was still argumentative with a tendency to be a jerk, and our conversations were constantly heated. And in the boardroom, we often found ourselves in fierce disagreement like we always had been.
But they now involved kissing and touching whenever we'd get a private moment alone, the risk of getting caught increasing every time. Dating, even in the loosest possible terms, was discouraged among employees,